Subject has to do with when a person writes an IOU and they obligate themselves and they write a document. So what does that document do exactly? What invests the power on that document? Is it like a lien, meaning that once you write that, that's lienable and they can go collect your property? And is that's possible that certain documents create a lien? Certain documents. Let's say you borrow the money in September, and the lender knows that if you don't have money, you have lots of property you can collect. And then meanwhile, you sell off all your property. So then when it comes time to collect, you say you have no money. The lender says, okay, I'll take away your price. I don't have it anymore. I sold it. So the problem is that as soon as you borrow money, it becomes a lien on all your property. So he could then go back to anybody that you sold property to after the date where you borrowed the money and take it away from them. And he said, what do you mean? I bought this from this guy. You thought this guy owned it? No, I'm the bank. He owed me. He borrowed money. And that money that he borrowed was covered by the loan was secured by his property. And so if you thought you were buying it wasn't free and clear. And so that's when it gets kind of, that's what we talk about when we say it's meshubad, it has a lien, is that when he borrows money, it kind of creates a lien on his property to pay back. So when you buy from someone, you need to check if they borrowed any money, if the property is property has liens on it. Okay, so let's begin the Mishnah. So we've been talking about finding things and giving them back to the owner. So who owns an IOU? Who owns a check? So somebody, obviously the person who borrowed the money wrote it, but did he give it to the lender? Did he use it? Did he activate it or not? So let's begin. We're going to see every possible combination and every possible opinion, and then we're done for the day. And that's the Gemara goes on longer than I expected on this issue. Matzah Shtarchov, you find an IOU. Now, one of the things we're going to talk about is, what's the IOU, somebody's important document that, owes tens of thousands of dollars and liens their land? Why is that floating around? Like, these things are kept in the bank, they're kept in the safe. Like, it's strange that you should find a document. When's the last time you found somebody's deed, So, Motzah Shtarchov, Im Yesh Behem Achrayis Nechasim, if it's a deed that has a date on it and it's secured in such a way that even if the borrower admits he borrowed the money, but since it's a lienable document, which means that when the lender goes to collect, if the borrower doesn't have money, he's going to go to anybody that bought fields of the borrower and take those away also. So not only does the borrower have a say, these other people who potentially could lose the property they bought from the borrower because of this. So if you give this back to the lender, the people who are going to get their property repoed are going to be in trouble. So therefore, lo yaxer, you better not give it back. She based in nifroya mehem, because this is a document that can be used to collect. And if the borrower doesn't have the money, anybody that did business with him after he borrowed the money is potentially going to lose what they have. Ain behemach reichnecha. On the other hand, if it's not a lienable document, it didn't have a date on it, or the person, the property isn't an issue. So then all we want to know is, did he borrow the money? Did he pay up the loan? So yaxer, shein beisin nifroyim, and beisin isn't going to kick anybody out. It's not lino, divrei emir. The chachamim, they say, bein kachu, bein kachu, lo yaxer. He says, either way, you shouldn't return it. They should based in nifroyim. Either way, they're going to try to collect with it, and who knows whether all the money was paid, was not paid. And since we don't know, you can't give it to the lender or the borrower. Okay, so that's the so that so far we've just differentiated between a kind of document that's lienable or not, meaning the document can be used to collect from somebody that did business with the borrower that bought the borrower's fields, and potentially they could lose it. So it's not just the borrower who could get in trouble, but anybody who did business with him could also get in trouble. So, and if you decide who it belongs to and you're incorrect, you're going to affect them. So now the Gemara needs to figure out, Mamayaskin, what's the case over here? What did the borrower say? In other words, it says, Reuven owes Shimon $100. So, and you find this document and you want to give it to Shimon, and Shimon's going to collect 100. So what does Reuven say? If the guy that owes the money says, yeah, it's true, I do owe the money, I did write the document. So even if it's lienable, if the borrower admits that it's legit, what's the concern? If the borrower says, I never borrowed that money, this is, so, ki ain't bet, even if it's not lienable, am I yakser, why should you give it back? Even though it's not strong enough to collect from anybody that did business and it's not lienable, but he'll collect from what's free and clear, and the borrower says it's not a true document. So it would seem to us, if the borrower admits it's true, no problem, give it back. And if the borrower doesn't admit it's true, don't give it back. That should be the issue. It should have to do shechayev moda. The words are kind of hard. The one that's going to have to pay admits he owes. So the Gemara says, la'olam kishechayev moda. Really, the borrower admits, yes, I owe the money. Aye, so what's the problem? We're worried that the date, maybe he pre-wrote the document. He wrote it early. He needed to borrow money. And I kind of explained to you, sometimes, especially if only a scribe could write it, and you needed the money, you would have the scribe write it when you had access, and you would use it when I meet up with this wealthy person, I'm going to ask him for a loan. But meanwhile, if I don't have somebody to write up the documents, I won't get it. So I have it pre-written now, 3 months early, and then I actually borrow it later. So since we're afraid of such a thing, Shema Kasav Lilbos Nisan, he's going to, the original, he said, I'm going to borrow it Pesach time in Nisan, Velo Lova, and the loan didn't take place 6 months later until Tishrei. And then when the lender goes to collect, anybody, you didn't actually borrow until Tishrei. So if you sold land in Nisan, the lender can't go to that person. It comes out there's this other factor in the when you have a loan. It's not just the lender and the borrower. It's the borrower's people that the borrower did business with that were concerned that people may try to collect from them. And really what it's going to come down to is, we're afraid that this document is something fishy about it. That's what we're going to see. You don't have, like I said, documents flying all over the place. It's just something strange here. And so we can't give it to another person if it's besides the borrower. It might affect his lechuchos. So then the Gemara says, well, if we're afraid of these kind of things, kol shtari d'asa kaman. Anytime we get a document, unless we know for a fact of the date's true, nikash lechu, why aren't we afraid that any document was pre-written? So the Gemara said, kol shtari lo rei. Any document, it doesn't have anything strange. It doesn't have anything bad. Hani rei, over here, the Hebrew word would be a reisa, coming from the word bad. There's something bad here. Last Rashi on the page. This is where we left off yesterday. This is bad. Hoyo v'nuffel. Like, since this is like flying around, it fell. Yisro, it's something fishy here. Those are my own words. But the Yeshlami Mahayo Kusher, if this was 100% legit, so don't you think they would have been careful with it? Maybe it's a spare document. Maybe it was never loaned. Maybe there's something going on. Like, what's it doing here? You know, that's the $6 million question. So we apply more scrutiny to this document because we don't know that it's legit. And so Gemara said, well, how do you know any document? Well, I know, but any document is kept in the bank. It's kept in the Beis Din. This is like floating around. There's something fishy here. Okay. So that's where we left off yesterday, like 4 lines from the bottom, 5 lines. Ella hadatinan. So we learned the following. Kostvin shtar l'loiva, you can write a document for the borrower even though the lender is not there. How could you do such a thing? How do you pre-write a document? Shouldn't you only be able to write it if, like, the cash is here and the borrower is here and you see the lender hand the borrower, then you could write it. But the rule is you don't even need to see the actual loan. You can write it without the lender being there. So how could you do it? Let's be afraid that it's going to be used in the wrong way. Omer Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi says, as we turn to today's page, that there's a new kind of document called Bishtari Hakna. And basically, I think there are things that work like this now also, where you take out like a line of credit. I forgot what you call it. The banks have this, where you, if you want to do remodeling and stuff, and you can borrow up to the limit, and you have to get approved ahead of time, and they hold it up on your credit, you know, that you're borrowing this amount, and then depending on what you spend, you write the checks and you, but you've actually. The lien starts even before you borrow. In other words, they know, they've agreed to pre-lend you up to 50,000, up to 100,000. At the problem is the interest fluctuates, and so it depends on the if all of a sudden the government does something funny and the interest rate goes up. Those I think they're it has to do with the house, the house. Home equity loan. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, it's been many years till I. But one time I looked in. But basically, when you take the loan, even though you didn't borrow, it's as if you borrowed on your. Like I said, they approved you. They already put it in the works that you have the access to borrow it. So if you were to try to borrow more, they'd say, "Wait a second, you've got a home equity loan that you haven't necessarily spent it yet." You decide if you're going to spend it or not, but they're giving you the right to spend it. This is something similar, shtari hakna. It means that basically, even though you didn't borrow yet, it's looked at as if you did borrow. So if I'm going to buy land from this guy, and I'm going to say, does this guy owe any money? So I'm going to find out, no, he didn't, doesn't owe any money, so I don't have to worry about that. But on the other hand, he has a document that he could owe money. And that's a shtari hakna. It's a, what is the art school have a word for it, or just notes of acquisition? I don't think that's a special. But basically, what it does is it activates the loan even before you've bought it. So if somebody does business with you, they'll be able to find out in the Beis Din. There'll be witnesses. So even though you didn't borrow, it shows up. That's really what it is because you've been makna the loan. Let's see the Rashi. Bishnari Hakna. Shemakta. This is a new concept. We haven't never discussed such a kind of thing. We thought until now that it's not a loan until you actually borrow. But this, Shemakta Nachasim, you agree to indebt your property, Mehayom, from today. Bein Yilva, whether you actually borrow or whether you don't borrow, the lender, your future lender, can collect from them, Osuzman Mehayom, from today. Even though you're not going to borrow till later, it's almost like you start the loan now. Back to the Gemara. B'shtarek said, if that's true, we learned in the Mishnah, if this is a lienable document, which means it has a date on it, you shouldn't give it back. And the borrower admit it. And we're afraid, and the whole reason you can't give it back was maybe it's a predated document. He thought to borrow in Nisan, but he didn't end up borrowing until Tishrei v'Asmid L'Kuchos Shelo Kedin, and he might come to take away from the L'Kuchos, and it's not fair to them. Milo Yaxer, why can't you give it back? Why don't we just see Ish Dari Hakna? This kind of document shows up even before you borrow. The whole problem was that they're going to do business with you and not realize that you owe money, but if you have a Dari Hakna, you kind of owe the money even before you borrow. They're going to know about it. So hashibud le nafshe, you have been mishabed yourself. I love that word. Shibud is from the word eved. You made yourself a slave. Basically, you promised that I'm going to pay you back. You're my master. When I borrow money from someone, I'm mishabed myself to pay you back. So if it's a shariach, no, I promised to pay somebody back even though I didn't even borrow yet. So the Gemara said, "Ibishtar the lohakna." If it's a star that didn't have that, then there wouldn't be the problem. The ha'amrs ki lecha malva b'hade, because we said that if you didn't have the lender there, you wouldn't have written it. So Amar le Rav Ashi, after star de lav, really, even if it's not that kind of document, ki lecha malva b'hade lo kasvinin. Really, we wouldn't normally write such a document. So you're right. We're afraid of something that shouldn't happen. And why should we be afraid to give it back? If it's written, the lender must have been there. This is a concept that we just quoted before. Once it fell, there's something fishy going on here. The fishy is my word, but once it fell, Israelo, like something strange going on. So we got a kashin, and we're afraid, even though they weren't supposed to predate it, Dilma Ikri. Maybe they did. Ikri, it just happened that they did it. the strange things happen. People sometimes don't follow protocols. It's a, especially you don't. It's you don't need a Beis Din to write an IOU. You know, it just happens in the marketplace all the time. So that's one possibility. So we this answer says that there's a type of borrowing where even before you actually borrow, you commit yourself to pay in case you borrow, and that's called a Shari Haknam. Okay, and I compared that to the home equity loan. Abaye, he gives a different answer. He says, Eide b'chos mozokolo. He says that once the witness has signed it, so that kind of, that should register, that's out there, that this loan is there, v'afilu shtar, even if he didn't specifically commit himself, he should, it should be lienable. Umushum nekasha kiv namishtar de lavakna. We said if he didn't commit himself, and since we're not going to write it if the lender's not there, we're not going to be afraid that somebody's going to go ahead and write this. If they went ahead and did it, the lender must have been there. But didn't we learn? This is talking about finding other kinds of documents. You find divorces. It's interesting in the Geniza in Cairo. There was in the shul attic over there. I don't know if it was an attic or whatever. They found all kinds of old Hebrew documents. That's the one that Solomon Schechter investigated or cleared out. Most places the documents deteriorate, but because Egypt is very dry and there's no moisture, so they had documents that were like 1,000 years old in the back of that shul. And so they found a lot of like IOUs, they found Gittin, they found Ksuva, they found like a little bit of strange things, all kinds of love letter. They found like, you name it, they found it in the back of that, they found a letter from the Rambam, or so, you know, it was just like a treasure trove of, things. So one of the things they had was Gittin Nashim, they had divorces. Where are you going to put it? Well, what do you do? You give it to, I don't know, put it in the shul, I don't know, put it over there. Okay. Avishakruri Avadim, and you had freedom papers. And Daita keys, and you had like a Daita key is a part of a loan. You can collect the loan from here. Matana, you found gifts for show from all kinds of receipts. So basically, you find documents. I wonder today they have like a briefcase that holds documents, you know, that they keep the documents in. So you found like somebody's documents. So you shouldn't give them back because Shemiksuvahavi. What's the harm to give them back if they're witnessed and everything? These are legitimate documents. And Morris said maybe they wrote them, maybe they were never activated. They were pre-written. So Morris says, but according to this view, even if you never wrote them, we said that once it's signed, it's no such thing as like writing a check that doesn't count because you didn't actually use it yet. No, the witnesses do it. Someone hanim hekid the kamati liyado. You still need that it should be delivered. Even if it's signed, it still has to be actuated. It has to be given to both sides, and we don't know that that took place. And so when you find this treasure trove of documents, you shouldn't be in a hurry to give it back to either side. Give it to the Beis Din, because you just don't know were all of these documents put into use, and are they collectible? But our Mishnah that said, we're right in the middle of the page, and we're going through many different types of borrowing documents. Because somebody found one, and he wants to know, can he give it back to the lender or not?
Are you starting in a different time now because of the time change?
No, I had jury duty this morning, that's all.
Oh, so okay. I got.
First, I thought maybe I'd wake up early and try to give the podcast. I couldn't. It was too hard because of the clock change, so I'm still adjusting, so I'm sorry. But so El Masis Tani Matzish Tarchoiv, the Mishnah that says, if you found the IOU, if it's leanable, you shouldn't give back. Vukmina, and we learned to Shechayev Moda, and the borrower, the one who's guilty over it, it's not really guilty, he means the one that's chayev to pay. The one that's going to have to pay admits, yes, I have to pay, I did borrow. The Mishum Shemakosel ben Nissan, and the issue is maybe he wrote the document to borrow in Nissan and he didn't actually borrow till Tishrei. So Bishleim the Ravasi. So like Ravasi, it shouldn't be a problem to Amar Bisharak Nisa. He said that we're talking about it doesn't matter that he didn't actually borrow it till 3 months later. We're talking about a document that he put a lien on it from the second that he wrote it, because it's a shtar yok nisa, it's the home equity loan. It tags the property from that moment. Mukulei b'shnar d'avlad. So maybe he'll learn that this case where you shouldn't give it back was where you didn't do that. Apparently there's a way to write it that even though I'm writing the document that I'm putting a lien on my property now to pay back, even though I didn't borrow yet. That's called a shtar haknasa. And a shtar d'lavak nisa says, I'm writing this now, hoping to borrow, but until I borrow, I don't have to pay. Did the comment, like we said. But according to Abaye, who says that once it's witnessed, that makes the document toxic, so to speak. When is it that I owe the money? Is it from the writing of the document? Is it from the signing of the document? Or is it once the money is handed over and the document's given to the parties? So according to this, once it was signed, shouldn't it be eligible to collect my kilomemers? Now we bring in a new issue. You're right. Really, this document was 100%. And really, he obligated himself. And he obligated his property to pay back the loan if he didn't pay it back. But maybe he paid back. We're afraid that, in other words, maybe he paid back. And then he asked the lender, can I have my documents? Oh, I can't find them. You could trust me. What are you supposed to do? You know, or he gave me a receipt, but how long are you going to hold on to the receipt? What does the IRS say, 3 years or something? Or I don't know, you're supposed to hold on to the receipt a certain amount of time. But so we're afraid of Peroin, or the other thing is Lekanunya. Oh, famous Kanunya. They're in cahoots. This word Kanunya means cahoots. How would that work? That is, you sell your land to someone, and he gives you $1 million and buys all your land. And then a week later, you say, I've got bad news. You know, I forgot to tell you I had borrowed money and I defaulted and the lender's going to take the land back. And you agree to this because the lender's going to split the money that he gets from you from taking back the land. And so that's Kanunya. That's he's in cahoots.
Is that where you get
Kanunya?
Yeah, and I understand the deal.
So normally the borrower borrowed the money from the lender, and the lender is going to collect, and that's it. But over here, the borrower sold the land without telling him that I owed money on the land. And then, and maybe he didn't even owe money on the land, but then he pretended that he owed money so that the land would be seized by the lender. In other words, I buy land from somebody. And as far as I could tell, I did a title search. The guy doesn't owe any money, so I should be able to keep the land that I buy. Yeah. And then the one who sold me the land said, oh, I forgot to tell you, I actually had borrowed money from a lender, and I didn't pay, so he's going to repo this land from you.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And he really didn't borrow the money, but he was in cahoots with the lender to create a loan that didn't exist.
I see. So that way the locaeth loses out because lender comes and grabs the land.
Yeah, let's look in Rashi real quick. Here's a short description. Le Peroin, maybe it was paid, or Le Kanunya, they're in cahoots. Shema Yifra min Aloiva. Maybe the lender's going to collect from the borrower. Nafo. Really? Shema Pora. Really, the loan was paid up and the document was given back to the borrower. And the borrower dropped it. And now, why does the borrower tell the person that the loan is good? It was paid up. Ahada kamoda, and that's in which he says, I didn't pay. Eitzahu b'neim. It's a trick. Show ramos of shtick. Litrof eselakukos, to take away from the people that did business with the borrower. Shalokimena karka shalobach rayas. And guess what? They're going to split. Whatever they make, the lender and the borrower are going to split the proceeds. And the one who did business with the borrower is going to be out of... So basically, we're afraid that this might not be a good document. Shmuel says, we don't usually assume such things. Nobody pays early, right? So, Hanika Asi, that works. Who says, no? He says that that the case of the Mishnah is only true that it's leanable. If you wrote a document about no, so he could learn in the case of the Mishnah where you can't give it back, I'm sorry, where you could give it back, the lo hakna, the property wasn't the loan wasn't actuated early, and we're afraid if you give it back, maybe the dates were wrong. But if you hold like a buyer who says, Eidim b'chos mazokalo, that as soon as the document was signed, it was valid, my ikla meymar, so why can't you give it back? So Shmuel Mukamasish ain chayiv moda. He'll have to learn that the borrower doesn't admit that he borrowed the money. That's why you can't give it back. So the Gemara says, Yehachi ain ben machwais in the custom. So that's true. Why could you give it back just because it's not lienable? If the borrower doesn't admit it, and he de lo gobim in mishabdi, even though you can't collect from the property that he might have bought and sold, the mnei chori, but what's free and clear, you could collect. So the answer is Shmuel tamei de amu Shmuel, Omer hai remeir shtar choyv sh'ein bo achrayis nechastim, that he said a document that's not leanable, ain gavu lo mishabdi, you can't collect from either. Basically, if there's no date on the document, it's not good. And so if you can give it back because he won't be able to do much with it because there's no date. Gemara said, Me'ashen u'goyva. Well, if you can't use this document anyways, so what's the big favor you're doing by giving him back a document? Am I yaxer? Amrev nasim bar'osha lotzer al-pisu chasa o'shal malva. The lender can use it as a bottle cap. In the old days, they used to use old newspapers for toilet paper, and they'd use old documents for a bottle cap. You know, it had some value. So it's true, you can't collect with it, but you got to have something to stuff the bottle. You know, it's a piece of parchment, and that's what they would use it for. So why don't you give it to the borrower? Maybe the borrower needs it as a bottle cap. So it's just a loiva. So the Morris said, loiva, who the Omar the loiva says, I never borrowed any money. Lohai devorim olam. So you're not giving him the bottle cap. He says it's not even a true document. So we got into kind of a funny case where the document really wasn't valid because it was missing the date. So then we were saying, well, if you can't collect with any, what's the harm? But there is some value to a piece of parchment. And so you give it back to the lender, at least he'll be able to use it for his bottle stuffer collection. Okay. As we continue on. Omar Rebbe Lazar, Machlokes. We really were saying different reasons why you shouldn't give back a document if the borrower admits it's good. What's the harm done giving it back to the lender? And we said there could be plenty of harm, really. We had came up with a bunch of interesting ideas why either it could affect the mishubadim, the people who the borrower did business with, and now potentially the lender is going to go to them, and just because the borrower admits it, but who said that it's really true? And then we talked about what if the borrower paid and he's in cahoots with the lender. And then we talked about what if really there's no value, but who do you give the document to? Okay. Omer Rebbe Lazar, Machlokes Ein Chayv Moda. He wants to say the whole debate is where nobody admits it's a good document. Meir Saver, Shtar Shein Bo Achrayis Nechastim. If there's no date on it, it's not a lienable document, and you can't collect anything from a non. Forget it. The document didn't have enough details on it. So you have very little harm done to return such a document. Rabban and Savri, no, Migvi Govi. You could collect with it. But if Shechayev Moda, if the borrower admits it, Divri HaKol Yachzer, there's no harm done. The main concern is that this document was never used or it was paid. But if the borrower says, yes, I owe the money, you give it back. And we don't assume that the borrower paid it. I mean, after he admits that he borrowed, he doesn't mention that he paid it. You don't forget if you paid it. You know, if you paid some of it back, you're not going to forget I paid. And we're also not, according to this view, Kanunya is like, I don't know how many crooks, you don't have to suspect that that's the case. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, Machalok v'shechayev moda, where the borrower admits it. Rameyer Savar Shtar Shein Bo'achmanekad Mishabdi Huda Logavi. He says, it's even if there's no date, you can't repo land from anybody who did business with them because you don't know when the actual loan took place. But you know that the loan did take place, Alba Minei Kori Migvi, so you could collect from what's free and clear. Rabban Nisan Mishabdi Nami Govi. He says, you can even collect from the, it is leanable. Al Gashayim Chayiv Moda, but if the borrower screams bloody murder, I never borrowed, Lo Yaxer, you don't give it back to Chayshin Liparayim, because you're afraid that maybe this was paid up and that this document is really not valid. Who's right in this debate? So again, we've multiple issues here. Does the borrower admit? Does the borrower not admit? Was it signed or was it not signed? Was there a date on it? Was there not a date on it? All of these were part of this question. So, Tanya Kavasta, Reb Yochanan, Bechufta, Reb Elazar, Bechad, Bechufta, Shmuel, Batarti. We can bring one proof and knock out two rabbis. We can knock out, we're going to bring a proof to Reb Yochanan, and we're going to show Reb Elazar was wrong about one thing and Shmuel's wrong about two things. Wonder how many times that happens there. Okay. That's right. You kill two rabbis with one stone. Okay. Let's see what it says. Motze Shtarcho, you find an IOU, V'yesh Be'emach Ra'es Nechasim, and it's leanable. There's a date on it. Afa Pisha Shnei Modim, and the lender says, yeah, it's legit, I loaned him the money. And the borrower says, it's legit, I borrowed the money. Lo Yaksa, Lo Zev, Lo Zev. You can't give back to either one. Which is strange. You'd say, well, one of the two has got to be telling, you know, and they're both, everybody's agreeing over here. Because in this case, since it's leanable, it could be that the one who's going to be messed up with is not the lender or the borrower, but the one that did business with the borrower after the date. I mean, especially today where you have like a 30-year loan, you know, a lot of people are going to buy and sell from a guy and then find out 30 years ago he borrowed. And so potentially he could have this land taken away. Now, if on the other hand, it's not leanable, if the borrower makes, give it back to the lender. In a loiva moda, he doesn't lo yaksa lo zev, don't give it back to either one. Because if it was leanable, government nechasim mishubadim, then it could have been used to collect from the property. But if it didn't have a date and it wasn't leanable, government nechasim nechorim, it can only collect from what's free and clear. And the Chacham, they say, either one could have collected from the property. So, Chufti Releza Bechad, we knocked out one rabbi with one thing. The Omer Le Remeir, Shtar She'en Boach, Reiz Nechassim, he had said that you can't collect from Mishubadim below Mishnasim Nechorim, and this is saying you can't collect from either. V'komer, Bein the Remeir, Bein the Rabban, Lo Chashin LeKanunya, we said we're not worried that they're in cahoots. And this Brisa said, don't give it back because maybe the lender and borrower are trying to mess up the third party. We are worried about people being in cahoots. Even though they both admit, the lender and the borrower, you can't give it back. The only explanation is we are worried that they're in cahoots. I wonder, does it have to do with society? Are there more ganovim around at a certain time that, you know, people, today the big thing is Ponzi schemes. Like every few years, they have these Ponzi schemes that people, that's kanunya, really. It's the same thing, you know, that people, so do you have to suspect such a thing or not? They're trying to educate the from community because we tend to be very trusting of people we daven with and we see and then all of a sudden, you know, you think you've invested your retirement, and then it's a Ponzi scheme. It's unfortunate. Bahani Tartihu, but it's interesting whether, I don't know what the argument is, whether or not you're worried about that. Do you have to suspect maybe there's something funny going on here, and they're trying to mess up the third party? Bahani Tartihu, Chada, okay, we will stop here at the bottom. But... I was hoping for a chart. Even in the art scroll, I didn't find a chart.
These are complicated cases.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.